to the teaching ministry of Pastor Jay Eberle. Get ready to be empowered through the understanding of God's Word.
If you brought your Bible tonight, I'd like for you to go with me to 2 Corinthians 8:9. And my heart is so full, I hope you're ready to get something tonight. I came full. I got some things. If you're ready to get it, say, I'm going to get it. We're ready. We're believing God for utterance. I trust you're doing that. You're saying to the Lord when you come to church, before you come to church, Father, I need, give him utterance. I need some things. What do I need? Amen. All right. So 2 Corinthians 8:9. I'm going to just, for time's sake, read it in the Amplified because of time's sake. It says, let's see. I gave you the wrong reference. I wrote so much down today. Did I say 8:9? I did give you the right reference. The Amplified says, "For you are becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, his kindness, his gracious generosity." Oh my, I don't know if I can get past those words. Gracious generosity, his undeserved favor and spiritual blessing. Undeserved favor and spiritual blessing, in that though he was so very rich, yet for your sakes he became so very poor, in order that by his poverty you might become enriched, abundantly supplied. Is that true? That is true. That he was rich and became poor, that we might through his poverty become rich, the King James says. Well, you might say, well, when did that happen? I mean, when did he become poor? Really, if you look at the language, it's redemptive language. It's substitutionary. It is, he did this so we could have this. And that is redemptive language. So where did redemption take place? It took place on the cross. And just like he became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ, just like he took stripes so that we could be healed, he took our poverty so that we could be rich. Somebody said, oh, yeah, but that's spiritual riches, Pastor Jay. You'd have to stretch. You have to put yourself in such a distorted place in these two chapters, these two whole chapters, 8 and 9, to make it spiritual, that you'd look worse than you do in a good game of Twisted. You know what I'm talking about? You cannot read these two chapters with an open mind and an honest heart and say that's talking spiritually, because the whole two chapters is talking about money and offerings and giving and so forth and so on. He's talking about financially. Amen. And I'm not going to let religious people talk me out of it because of persecution, because people don't like it, because people get offended at us preaching it. We're going to share it in as much love as we can and just keep on telling people the truth. And somebody's going to believe it. Somebody is going to pop the clutch and say, really? I believe it. I believe it. I believe it. Yeah. So praise the Lord. I want you to see the first part of the Amplified. You're becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly. So what he's talking about is growing and getting more revelation and more revelation of this. You and I don't get this because we heard it once. There is so much coming against you and I in the natural realm, trying to make us think that this is not true, that, you know, it's hard to get ahead, that there is no help from God in this area because I've never been able to get ahead. So, you know, there's so much coming against us that we have to hear it over and over again so that we can progress in this revelation. Hallelujah. And revelation is progressive. The book of Romans, the first chapter, the 17th verse says, the righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel from the previous verse, revealed in the gospel from faith to faith. Revelation comes to you and I from faith to faith. From faith. That means he's talking about degrees of revelation from faith to faith, by degree of revelation. In other words, we're to believe God for revelation. Just like we believe God for a lot of other things, we're to believe God for revelation. That's what the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, that prayer in Ephesians 1 is all about. Lord, give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. I don't care. I care not about religion. I care not about what people say about the Bible. I just want to have revelation of what it actually says. What it actually said. I think God said what he meant and meant what he said. And we don't need to help him out and explain to everybody what he meant. No, he just said what he meant, and he meant what he said. So this is progressive. How many of you know you can know God in one area, or maybe in part in one area, and know nothing about him in another area? And what God put on my heart has been boiling inside of me for a week and a half, I think, or something like that, and it's finally just got, I couldn't hold it in any longer. Just whoa. And do you realize he's been talking to me for a while, so this is going to come out with some punch. But you can know him in different areas, but one area that we need to strengthen our knowledge and revelation in is this knowledge of his, notice this Amplified says, gracious generosity. He said, you're becoming progressively acquainted with and recognizing more strongly and clearly the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then it defines grace, his grace, his kindness, it said first, and his gracious generosity. That's big on the inside of me tonight. His gracious generosity. When we talk about grace, what is it talking about? It's talking about, how many of you know grace is the short word in the word gracious? Gracious. God is the most gracious being you have ever met. You go to him beating yourself up about how you've missed it, on and on and on. You go on and on. And the first thing he'll say to you within the first second, I forgive you. Generously, graciously, freely. You don't have to talk him into it. He doesn't grudge doing it. He's not a grump about your sin. He's not mad. He doesn't bite. He doesn't bark. He doesn't hiss. He doesn't. He just say, I forgive you. Yeah, right. I forgive you. And you can go on and on and on about it, but that doesn't do anything. He was gracious to you the moment you came to it.
Yes, sir, right there. Amen. Hallelujah.
He is the epitome of gracious. He is the definition of gracious. And he's the definition of generous. Most Christians don't know this about him. But we're going to look into this tonight. I said, we're going to look into this tonight. And how many of you know the context of what he's talking about here is this grace is for far more than just your eternal destiny and just you getting into heaven. It is for far more than that. To God, God spreads grace around like a four-year-old spreads peanut butter around. I mean, they get their hand in the jar and they get it all over the counter. They get some of it on their bread and some of it on their face and some of it in their hair, some of it on their clothes and some of it on the floor and some of it when they go to the bathroom, in the bathroom. And that's the way God spreads grace around. He gets it on everything. I mean, he walks into the room and it splashes on this area and this area and this area and this area. And even on your finances, there's grace to make you rich. There's grace to make you wealthy. You can know it about salvation, maybe to a degree. But what he's saying here, I want you to know. You're becoming progressively more and more aware of this, but I want you to know the grace. The King James says, I want you to know. I want you to know. That's in verse number one. And so it's important that you understand there's help for your financial and material life, the financial and material area of your life. Isn't that right?
Yes, sir.
Financial prosperity can seem difficult, can seem hard, but it's not reality. Get a hold of that. This is not real. What's difficult is not knowing how to tap into grace. That's what makes it hard. It is not hard for to get God to want to bless. You don't have to twist his arm. Come on. You don't have to beg. You don't have to promise to do better. He's free and generous. He's willing. I'm telling you. Don't kick it out because you haven't experienced it. Amen. God will do you better in life than you would even do yourself if you let him. He'll bless your socks off. He'll do things for you that you would not have dreamed of. He'll put you in a place to live that just twitches your toes. Absolutely. The Bible said in John 15, he talks about he wants to do some things that are joy. He said, ask that ye might receive, that your joy might be full. Full. That's just bubbling up, running over, splashing out on everything else. That's what he said that he wants you to do. And the Lord spoke to me one time and said, "Want to know how you can tell if your joy is full?" I said, "Yeah, tell me." He said, "It's when you walk in and you say, whoa, I could live here the rest of my life."
All right, come on.
Your joy is full. If you walk in and say, "I'm so tired of living in this place," your joy ain't full. I said, your joy ain't full. Huh? We've got to hear this about his character. We've got to see, our faith in God is not based on knowing God's ability. It's based on knowing his character and his nature. And listen, this is one of the biggest attributes of his character, because the Bible said God is love. And love gives. Amen. And is generous. Yeah. Like a 4-year-old with peanut butter. I mean, just gives dangerously.
Right.
Gives to where you might even backslide over it.
Come on.
See, I felt that.
Come on.
Somebody said, "Well, he knows I might backslide." Listen, he said to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, he said, "I know you're going to get away from me, but I'm going to give you Canaan's land anyway, because I told you I would. And I made a covenant with you." I'm not preaching backsliding. I don't want to. Listen, when you get a hold of how good he is, you don't want to run away from him.
No, sir.
Nobody that really knows him really wants to get away from him or to do something that'll hurt him, because he's so generous. Hallelujah. So let's dig around in this a little bit. Would you be okay with that? Generosity really is the heart of God. Amen. And that's what graciousness really is. It's generosity. God's a lavish God.
Yes.
He's unmoderated in his generosity.
Yeah.
Amen. The Bible said he spared not his own son, but delivered him for us up for us all. How will he not also with him freely? You got to get that word freely down on the inside. Freely give you all thanks. We've got to build this into our inner consciousness. We've got to believe it. 1 John 4, I can't remember the verse, said we have known and believed the love that God has towards us. You got to know it. You got to believe it. You got to walk around and say it. God is good to Brother Jay. God is good to Pastor Jay. Well, whatever your name is. See, I can't say it for you. I just found a chance to say it again for me, so I said it about me. In the world out there, they say, if it's not one thing, then it's another. But me walking with Jesus and his graciousness, if it's not one good blessing, it's another. You say, "Pastor, I really want to believe that. I want to walk in that." Well, then stay here for the rest of the service. Don't tune me out, because we're talking about something that some people don't like. I'm convinced. I've looked back over some spaces of my life, you know, and I'm convinced Pastor Jay would be further along in this in if he would have responded to the Spirit of God trying to teach me this earlier in life. I would be further along in this. It's not God's fault. I remember going to God one time in a time of need saying, Lord, you know, really, really a pressing financial need. This is years ago. Lord, you know, and I'm kind of like, Lord, I'm kind of like, yeah, what are you waiting on? Kind of, you know, I didn't know at the time that's the way I was approaching God, but he spoke a little statement to me that made me, it just opened up my eyes to what I was doing and the whole situation. In a flash, I saw the whole thing. He said, after I finally got quiet, he said, if you don't have it, it's not my fault. Like a flash, I saw what I was doing. I was working on God's end. Working on God, do something, do something, do something. I saw I was trying to work on the sending end, and there was no problems on the sending end. He has already given me richly all things to enjoy. He gave me Jesus. He'll freely give me anything else. He didn't spare Jesus. If there was anything he was going to spare, it's the most valuable thing he had. But he wouldn't spare Jesus. And so he's not going to spare anything else. So I could see what when he just made that statement to me, if you don't have it, it's not my fault. I could see I was blaming him. I was working on the sending end. I was not working. Where the real problem was on the receiving end. Can anybody identify? And listen, if you can't receive, if you have trouble receiving, there's bondage there. It's just a lack of seeing how freely he gives. Sometimes it's because of condemnation. Sometimes we don't want to be persecuted by what other people say. Sometimes it's a fear. Well, if I receive somebody blessing me with something, well, then I don't want, every time I see them, I'm going to feel like I owe them something. I don't like that feeling. And so I just don't receive people giving me things. You got more problems than
yes,
you
sir.
Realize.
Yes, sir. That's exactly true.
Bigger problems than you realize. Listen. God, the way he'll get this revelation across to you is a lot of times he will give to you into being a giver. He will give you into giving. But if you don't receive, you'll never be a generous person with anybody else. Which is the character of God. The epitome of the character. We talk about, I want to be like Jesus. That is graciousness.
Yes, sir. Yes.
That is generosity.
Amen.
Free, generous giving. Now, listen, in every area, we're talking about forgiveness. We're talking about just an encouragement. We're talking about strength. God's a giver. I mean, like I said, he gets it on everything. He's like a four-year-old. He's not a four-year-old, but he's like a four-year-old. You know, he just gets it on everything. Generous, free. In his presence is fullness of joy. You get in there and you get overwhelmed with joy. Peace that passes all, I mean, it just goes beyond. You can't take it all in. Peace that passes all understanding. That's who he is. I just want to be like Jesus. Okay. Then it's a process of learning to be a generous giver. But here's something we've got to understand. It comes through revelation of his generosity towards you and accepting what he wants to give to you, because a lot of times God will give you into giving. Listen, you getting that? He'll give you into giving. How many of you know a lot of us are more lovely today because he has loved us into being lovely? He has loved us into being lovely. Yes, he has. Yes, he has. Hallelujah. You know how to get people happy and cheered up when you get around them? You cheer them into being cheerful. Amen. You can't slap them into being cheerful. Cheer up. Bam. That doesn't work. It's you being cheerful yourself. It gets contagious. It starts spreading around. It fills the atmosphere. And people finally join in. After you leave, they might lose it. But guess what? That's how God works. He will cheer you into being cheerful. I remember a story was told. I laugh every time I think of it. I was thinking of it the other day, and it just came back to me. A man, we were preaching at a church. I believe it was it Mattoon, Illinois, or it was, see, you don't know. She don't know which story I'm getting ready to tell. But anyway, it's either Charleston or Mattoon, Illinois. This man, this he was an usher, really. He was I think he was the head usher of that church. He was telling me one time, I don't remember why we even got on the conversation, just somehow we got on the conversation. I think he was just telling funny stories, if I remember right. He said, one time there was a man that I knew, he's a good friend of mine, he comes to church here, he said he came in and he was all depressed. I had known him for years, and, and he said he came into the church. This friend came into the church one night, and he's the head usher. This man that told me this story, he's the head usher. And he said the man that he was his friend came in, and he was depressed. And he started talking to him about possibly committing suicide. He was so depressed. And the man looked at him and said, "You serious?" He said, "Man, I like your riding mower. Can I have your riding lawnmower?" That's not advice on how to counsel people, but the man started laughing, and it broke him out of his depression. And after that, he didn't want to kill himself no more. What did he do? He cheered him into being cheerful. That's the way God will get you into being generous. Are you with me tonight? He'll give you into giving. He'll love you into loving. Remember what I was sharing on Sunday about, they tried to educate the hell out of me. They tried they went to jail and they tried to rehabilitate the jail out of me. And my daddy tried to beat the hell out of me. But Jesus loved the hell out of me. That's how he gets us into doing better, acting like him. He just acts that way towards us. He just acts that way. And listen, if you won't receive from him, you will never experience the freedom in your finances that comes only as a result of generosity. You can just forget it. Now, Ephesians 1:6. Now, this is in the Amplified. This is in the Phillips translation. Ephesians 1:6 in the Phillips translation said that we might learn to praise that glorious generosity of his, which has made us welcome in the everlasting love he bears towards the Son. Notice there it is again, that glorious generosity. Grace means generosity. It means graciousness. It means giving blessings and giving gifts. That's the way God is. He comes on the scene with gifts. He comes to the sinner with the gift of the Savior.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. The remission of his sin, acceptance into the family, all these gifts, right standing with God, cleansing from your past, all these gifts, all just gift after grace. And then once you get in, he said, "I got some more gifts for you." What's that? I got the gift of the Holy Ghost for you. I got gifts of blessings for you. I got gifts of direction for you and leadings. And I got the authority of the believer for you. I got the measure of faith for you. And I got this, I got that. He's just generous. He's a giver. He's gracious. Just who he is. He can't help himself. Are you still out there? In the Doddridge translation, there's a verse that here in Ephesians 3:16. This is Ephesians 3:16. In the Doddridge translation, out of those redundant stores of goodness and his gracious heart, which can never be exhausted. God gives to us, in other words, out of redundant stores of goodness and his gracious heart, which can never be exhausted. Well, I had a need yesterday and it got taken care of, but today, well, hey, you can't exhaust God's. The redundance means characterized by repetition. I mean, have you ever been down to the seashore? You ever been to, these guys just came back from Hawaii. Do you notice the waves? Yes. Just continuous. I mean, you're out there late at night smooching with your wife or something. They're continuous. You go to bed, you get up in the next morning, they're continuous. They keep on coming and keep on coming and keep on coming. And that's called redundancy. And what he said is that's the way God does things. They just keep on going. They go on and on. They just keep on a-coming. I said, they keep on a-coming. Hallelujah. Well, I can't take all of them in. They're overflowing. Remember what the psalmist said? My cup is full and running over. God, stop. Turn it off. You're being wasteful. It's flowing away. Wait. And God said, hey, it's not my fault you don't have a bigger cup. Why don't you get a bigger cup? Why don't you get a bigger receiver? Huh? God's nature and character, his character is that of surplus, superabundance. Think about the peace that it passes all understanding. Joy, unspeakable. How do you express what how do you express this? Isn't that right? All these blessings. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Another characteristic of generosity, if you read the Bible, in fact, go to 2 Corinthians 8:8. 2 Corinthians 8:8 talks about, in fact, look, let's go back to the first verse and catch it before we come to the eighth verse. It tells us, Paul said here in 2 Corinthians 8:1, I want you to know, brethren, that's another way of saying we do you to wit, of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how in the great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. Notice he said these people were in great stress financially. They didn't have a lot at the time, but the grace of God started working in them, and it caused them to be generous, even look at verse 3, and to their power, yea, and beyond their power. They were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty. So this anointing, this grace came on them in this middle of this need, and it started making them gracious and generous and giving, and they got in a flow. This is a flow of the Holy Ghost. Yes. They got in a flow, and that flow kept moving them more and more towards being more and more gracious, and the supply that they needed to continue doing that was in that flow. Yes. And it took them beyond their power. Yes. Now, that means beyond their natural ability financially. I have had plenty of months where I've looked at the books and said, I really don't understand how that happened. I mean, when you give and you give and you and you give and you're like and your mind's going, no, stop. And so the prompting of the Spirit comes up, do it again. I mean, sometimes thousands of dollars. I'm not trying to brag. I'm trying to help you understand. This grace of generosity will get you in the flow of God. Because this, somebody said it one time this way. They said, if God can get it through you, he can get it to you. There's a literal power and anointing in this flow of generosity to cause things to just start coming your way. You can become like a clearinghouse for God. Where you're you're God's go-to person. God said, there's some things I've been trying to get done and nobody else will do it. Would you do it for me? Yeah, God, I'll do it.
Come on.
I'll do it.
Amen.
And so you get in that flow and you start obeying him, and here comes the supply to do it. Here comes the supply to do it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
And so those people that get into that flow, they just become richer and richer and richer, and the other people become more grumpy and more jealous and more competitive, like, it doesn't work for me. Well, see, you didn't get in the flow. It's an anointing flow. It's a grace flow. And the way we get in is by faith. But I said that was what the first three verses said. Come over here now to chapter 8, verse number 8. I speak not by command. And let's back up to verse 7. This will make more sense if I back to verse 7. Therefore, as you abound in everything, and in faith, in utterance, and knowledge, and in all diligence, and in your love to us, see that you abound in this grace also. Grace of generosity is what he's talking about. I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others, and to prove the sincerity of your love. So he started out saying, I want you to know about what happened in the churches of Macedonia. How they got in this flow. And it got them into abundance. Broke the yoke of poverty. Hallelujah. And there's some other things that'll break, if we can get to it tonight. But anyway, He said, I want you to know of that. And then he said in verse 7, make sure you abound in this grace also. How many of you know it's up to us to be generous? Amen. God put that nature in us, but we have to develop that nature. Well, we'll have to get into that some more, maybe later, but look at verse 8 is what I want to get to. I speak this not by commandment. In other words, this is not like a sledgehammer over our head to do this, but how many of you know when you really get in this flow, you really want to?
Yes, sir. Amen.
I speak not by commandment, but by occasion of the forwardness of others. Now, notice that, this forwardness of others. So he's talking about that church back there in Macedonia, or those churches in Macedonia. He said this grace that got the flowing in them, he said it made them forward. You know what that means? That basically means if you're forward, that means you're eager to do it. You can't wait to do it. I said you can't wait. Amen. It's a desire. You are excited about doing it. Praise God. That's the work of God. That's not the work of the flesh. Where you can't wait. Recently, there was a situation I heard of, and just saying, Lord, somebody here in the church, anything I can do? What do you want me to do? And something dropped in my heart, and I couldn't wait to see him. I couldn't wait to see him.
Amen.
In fact, I got the money out of my back pocket and put it in my front pocket,
because
I'm going to see him real soon. I'm going to see him real soon.
Amen.
And I forgot actually to say it the way the Lord put it in my heart, but I intended to say, I have been waiting to do this. This is a joy for me to do
Amen.
This.
Amen.
Don't tell me no. Don't you don't have to. You don't have, no. This is a joy for me to do this.
Yeah, come on.
You don't know. You don't know how good my God is to me.
Yeah.
I just want to show you how good He is.
Amen.
I just want to show you.
Hallelujah.
And that's the grace of God. Now listen. I know Pastor Jay. That's the grace of God.
All right. Come on.
Okay. Let me go over here. I've been living with Pastor Jay for a long time. Pastor Jay has been around Pastor Jay a long time. And that wasn't Pastor Jay's nature in the flesh. But I've been getting into this more and more and looking forward to it. And I almost pinched myself. I'm like, here's something I'm thinking to myself. I'm thinking, I like this guy better than I like that old guy. How many of you know this is freedom from depression?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You know why some people are depressed? It's because they got them on the mind all the time. And they are depressing. I believe it. They are depressed. But when you get other people on your mind, when you get your problems on my needs, my wants, how it just seems to never be coming to me and all this, that's depressing. But if you get past selfishness, man, get past thinking of you, thinking of what you need, your wants, your this, your that, life becomes a thrill. Because Jesus said a man's life consists not of the abundance of the things he possesses. In other words, that's not where real living is. Where real living is in being a blessing. Now you've stepped up to, you left behind the fake living and you got over here into real living. This is living. This is life. You get to the place that you say, okay, God, my whole life, everything I am, strength, all my knowledge, all my abilities, all the giftings I have, everything, my whole life, Father, is yours. I give it to you as a seed. It's not just any longer something I do from time to time. It's what it's the way I live. It's who I am. My life belongs to God. Anything you say to do, that's what I'm going to do. Make me a blessing. Lord, make me a blessing. Show me where I can be a blessing. Somebody said, that's hard for me. Listen, it's not something that the flesh will let you do, but if you get out of the flesh over into the flow, if you let God show you how gracious He is to you, and you start flowing in this, it will revolutionize your life. It will revolutionize your life. And your whole life becomes, that's just who you are. And you died, I want this, I want that. And you live for doing the plan of God, being a blessing, helping people get to God, helping. And you get to the place, I haven't arrived, you understand that, but I'm getting more and more like this. And you get to the place, it's just like, I gotta, it's addictive.
Yes, sir. Amen.
It's addictive.
Yes, sir.
I found out this. If you get addicted to giving, God will support your habit. He'll support your habit. God, shoot me up. And he'll go, okay, over there. And you go, oh, praise God. Woo, praise the Lord. And you turn around and there's something else. And you say, Lord, any of this belong to anybody? He'll say, eat part of that. And then there's a seed in that too. Okay, Lord, okay. I need to give again, Lord. It gets addictive. You know why? Because it's the very nature of love and God who's living on the inside of you. And listen, he wants to show off and show out. He's tired of being held inside, just looking out the windows you call eyes. He wants to get in your hands and get in your giving and encourage people and love people and strengthen them and tell them they did a good job and giving them some money over here and saying happy birthday over here. Giving to the gospel over here. Do you realize getting in this flow could be the difference between some people going to heaven and some people going to hell? You say, why? Because we give to the church that preaches the gospel. Well, that's true too. But listen, how many of you know sometimes people aren't Christians is because they've met stingy ones.
That's true. That's right. Yes, sir.
But when you're generous and you give and you just bless, people go, man, I want to be like, how do I,
amen.
You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah. Amen. Yeah.
Hallelujah. 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 You don't know what you're doing when you just sow into somebody. If it's a waitress giving her an extra $10 or put a $100 bill in there or something. You don't know.
You don't know.
You could save them from going to hell. Because they weep and say, there is something to this God that they were talking about. It's not just religion. It's not just works. There's something to this. Everybody understands love.
Yes, sir. Yes, they do.
Everybody understands love. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I said, it can be the difference between somebody going to heaven or going to hell. Let's let Jesus out of us. What do you say? I said, what do you say? I think one reason I enjoy teaching and preaching the word on a regular basis, I get to do it usually 2 times a week, if not more, is because that's what it is. It's giving to people, sowing into their life, showing them how to walk with God, how to receive from God. It's helping them to receive. So what that is that's sowing. I think that's why it's so sad. One of the reasons it's so satisfying. Praise the Lord. Well, I wish God would call me. No, listen, you can do it every day, every people you meet. Just say something encouraging to them. I'm getting to the place with waitresses and people. I'm getting to the place where I'm just looking for opportunities to sow into their lives, just sow into their lives. You don't know when you left what they said. They could have gone in the back room and started weeping. Said, I heard them praying over their meal. I know they're people of God. And here they gave me $100. And rent's due. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
it could be the difference. That could turn them. So some people are turned away. You know, somebody said about Gandhi. He was a leader over in, where was that, in India? They said Gandhi made the statement. He said, I would have been persuaded to be a Christian if I had never met one. Don't be that guy.
Seriously.
I said, don't be that guy. That's hard to stand before God and you know, I'll have to deal with that. Now somebody said, what if that was me in some area? Get it under the blood. Get it under the blood. How many of you know that's how you get free from that? But my point is that this can be the difference between somebody going to heaven and somebody going to hell. Well, tell your neighbor, it's all good anyhow, whether it's stamping on your toes or not. Hallelujah. So we're to see that we abound in this grace of liberality. We're to use our faith to tap into it. Isn't that right? And that means we do it without delay. We're generous. We're willing. We're eager. We make haste to do it. We don't have to be persuaded to do it. We're prompt. We're bold. We're presumptuous almost. Amen. Praise the Lord. So, being gracious doesn't only mean the amount we give. It through, you know, liberal, generous, big giving or something. It means the readiness and eagerness of heart. Yeah. It means not being reluctant or not being slow. That describes the character of God. This has got to dawn on us. We've got to build this into our character, our spirits about the character of God. Amen? Know it and believe it. Praise the Lord. Now, Jesus in John in Matthew 6:11 said, if you being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give to them that ask him? How much more? God doesn't want you going through life down here in a car or a house or clothes or anything that's a, you know, this will do. We can make it by with this. He wants what you have in this life to be a how much more house,
right.
How much more this, how much more
Amen.
That.
Yes, sir. Amen.
How much more? How much more? How much more? You remember when Jesus talked about don't be worrying about clothes and stuff? He said even the flowers are going to be gone here today and gone tomorrow. He said they're better dressed than Solomon was. Isn't that what he said?
Yes, sir.
And then you remember what he said after that? If God so clothed the grass of the field, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Amen. You want to know the biggest struggles that we've had lately, Pastor Debbie and I? It's talking to people about what God's doing. Because they choke. Hello?
Yeah, come on.
I can't. I'm not trying to. I'm just simply saying. I'm not bragging on me. I couldn't get this for years. I mean, in my own effort, my doing things my own way. Remember, he said to me one time, "Your way isn't working, is it?"
Right. Come on. Yeah.
I'm not bragging on me. You got to understand the way I say these things. Because people hear things all different ways based on where they are and their own mentality and their own. But, you know, sometimes I hold back because I don't know how much they can handle.
Come on.
Are you still out there? God is a how much more God. He's a exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think God. And he said he freely gives us and richly gives us. Remember, if he spared not his own son, how shall he also with him freely give us all things, freely. Give us all things and richly give us all things to enjoy. I know people get spitting mad and religious devils get all over them when you start quoting those verses, but I didn't read it out of some person's theory. I read it out of my Bible. My Bible. Freely, richly. James 1 talks about ask if anyone lacks wisdom. I forget the verse, verse 5, 6, 7, down and through there. Anyone that lacks wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. In other words, he won't slap your hand when you come to receive.
No, he won't. Come on.
There's no condemnation. Listen, if it's freely given, it can be freely received without condemnation.
Yes, sir.
Without condemnation. Well, why do you have that? Because my Father freely gave it, and I said, thank you.
Yes.
Any other questions? See, all that's religion, all that's bondage, all that stuff is keeping people from receiving that. If you got that kind of thing in your heart when somebody else gets blessed, you found out what's keeping you from receiving yourself. How much more? Shall he not much more clothe you? Oh, ye of little faith. He puts his finger on it right there. It's a faith issue. Amen? And I'm talking to myself as much as I'm talking to you. Sometimes I weep. He comes on me in prayer. He said, there's another level. There's more I want to do for you. And I just weep. I'm like, thank you, Father. Teach me. Teach me. Teach me. I want to know how to do it. I want to know. And, you know, one of the things that comes up to me is sometimes I hold back because Eastern Iowa doesn't know how to. And I'm getting past that. Eastern Iowa has got to see a demonstration. He wants to make the world jealous by his goodness in you and my life. He said so. Well, I don't think so. Well, go read your Bible. Romans 9 would be a good place to start. Romans 11 would be a good place to go after that. He said he wants to provoke them to jealousy by his goodness on us. Goodness is graciousness, and it's not just for salvation and a ticket to heaven. It's for every area of life. I said it's for every area of life. Remember, God's like a four-year-old. The enemy is always trying to shortchange you and me. Always trying to get us to accept the status quo. What is normal in everybody else's mind. But it's not normal in God's way of looking at it. Don't set what is normal by the circumstances around you, by people around you. Set what is normal by what you see in this book. And give no apologies and don't feel like you owe an apology to anybody. If they can't rejoice with you, it's a religious spirit. Wow, this is coming out strong tonight. People believe he's good, but a lot of times whenever they see certain things, they start choking. Well, they don't believe then that he's that good. Hello? But he is. The enemy's the one trying to put blinders on people's eyes and tell them he's not that generous. He's not, well, not this time. I mean, you know, you do have to be careful. The Bible said you have to be careful about money. No, it doesn't. No, it doesn't. Not about having things itself. It talks about heart conditions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
That's what the warnings are again. Don't love it, seek it, serve it, put it first, put your faith in it, be proud over it. Those are the warnings. But there's never a warning. Thus saith the Lord, thou shalt be guarded against having $1 million. There's no warnings like that. You can tell that comes on me every time I preach this. We hit that religious thing. Amen. Praise the Lord. The devil's okay with you believing it was good in the past, you know, the good old days, or in the future, sweet by and by. But see, God wants you to accept it right here and now. Right here and now. Right here and now. Hallelujah. He's exceeding abundantly above all you can ask or think good. Amen. Whenever you say, I'd like that, but, you know, well, I don't know. He's that good. What was that that rose up on the inside of you? Before your own head went and smacked it back down. Huh? Now, I realize there's wrong ways to go about getting things. The Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But we're just talking about the simple fact of whether God wants is good enough to say, that's what I want for you. I want you to have what you want. Isn't that right? You need to know it. He's beyond normal good. He's beyond regular good. He's beyond our family's never had that good. Isn't that right? There's a voice that tries to get you to back out of some of these things. But God's gooder than that. That's not good English, but you got it. Teach yourself that every time you come up to something that you think would be wonderful, teach yourself to say to yourself, he's that good. He's that good. That's how good he is. Well, we can never afford to drive. No, he's that good. He's that good. Hallelujah. But that's beyond my income. He's that good. But my 2-year tax return says, he's that good. Hello? But the bank said I can't. No, he's that good. That's how good he is. If he gave you Jesus, he'll not withhold any good thing. We've got to enlarge the capacity of our spirits. And to be able to receive this generosity. Tell your neighbor, he's that good. You've never met a giver as generous as God. I mean, you've met God, I know, but I'm talking about there's nobody else like him. Isn't that right? He's by far the biggest giver. Amen. And so he'll keep pouring it out even though you can't receive it. How many of you know he's going to always be beyond what we can receive? But the point is, unless we have the faith to receive it, will not enjoy it. Amen? All right, so can we wrap some things up by saying just a little bit more? I think I'm on page 2 of 9 pages. Something tells me we ain't going to be done with this tonight. Hallelujah. You don't have to talk God into being generous. He's already, the Bible says he's gracious. The Old Testament calls him great, the New Testament especially, but the Old Testament calls him the Lord is good and that he's gracious and merciful to all. His tender mercies are over all his works. You look up the word gracious, and this is the best way I would be able to describe it. I looked it up. The Lord is gracious. Overhears doing things good for people. Overhears doing bad things for people. Here's God. I can't even do it. I can't even lean like, here's God. He's leaned way over here. He's trying to fall on everybody doing good things. He's not leaning over here, you know. He's looking for something you missed it in, like, okay. That's what gracious means. You with me tonight? That's what gracious means. You don't need to talk him into it. So number one, in understanding and getting a hold of this, you have to understand God is the most generous, gracious being or person in the universe. He's very extravagant. Amen. Remember, delight yourself in the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Just things you desire. So that's number one. Number two, your personal generosity is a reflection of your revelation or your understanding of God's generosity. Okay, let me say that again. Your personal generosity is a revelation. Let me say it this way. It's a reflection of your revelation or your understanding or knowledge of his generosity. Praise the Lord. That's what we were talking about earlier whenever we say he gives us into giving. He loves us into loving. That's what he's doing with me. I know he's working in you. He's working in everybody that will respond to him in this area. Somebody said, why does he want us to be gracious? Number one, because it's just his nature. And he wants you to have his graciousness flowing through you and towards you. He wants you to know. It'll do you a lot of good to receive some things. It'll make you weep sometimes. That God would put somebody, you know, put you on somebody's heart or move in a situation to get something to you that you really enjoyed or liked or something like that. It will do you a lot of good. It'll do you a lot of good. It'll do your heart a lot of good. Amen. Praise the Lord. Really, all real true generosity comes from and begins with God. You and I would not be anything but mean, grouchy, selfish, stingy, or anything else that's like it if it wasn't for God. We would have the attitude, here's the way I live. I get all I can all I get, and I sit on the can. That's the way we'd be. That's the way I grew up. You know, I earned it. I worked hard. Why would I give it to anybody else? You want it? Go get your own. You know what I'm talking about? Now, I don't mean, you know, there's people that are just wanting to just not do anything, not work. The Bible said he'll bless what you put your hand to. But that's because they're stingy.
That's right. Yeah. Come on. Come on.
They don't want to work because they're stingy.
That's right.
Don't make me come back there. They're selfish. They're stingy. They're mooch. They got no faith. Amen. God wants to move them into being a blessing, and they're shutting God down.
Come on. Come on now. Come on. Yeah, come on.
It's the truth. Whether it's you or whoever, the guy sitting behind you, I don't know. It's just true. To have that attitude that, you know, I'm just going to mooch everybody, that's a problem. But also, but you see, what we need to be is, the Bible said, let him labor with their let believers labor with their hands to work that they might have, the Bible said, this is Ephesians 4, that they might have to give.
Yes, sir.
What are you working for?
Come on. Come on now.
Well, I got bills, Pastor Jay. Well, there's a level of faith there. God will meet you there. But that verse goes one step further, that you would have something to give. Have something to give. That's a whole perspective some people have never thought about. Have to give. Well, I worked for it. I earned it. I mean, you know. Selfish. And that's bondage. Whether I knew it or not, or you know it or not, that's bondage. That's the real root of poverty. Oh, I don't know if you got what I said. I just said that's the real root of poverty. That's the real root of poverty. Number one, selfishness. Number two, fear of giving, fear of lack. People don't give because of fear of lack. They don't give because of selfishness. They don't give because their faith is in their money, not in God. I'm getting into some of the other things we got in my notes, but here's the point. All those are bondage.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep. Come on.
It's bondage to just live for yourself.
Yes,
sir. It's bondage. Fear is bondage. The Bible makes it plain. Fear is bondage. Amen. And putting your faith in your money is bondage because, really, that's very unstable. Isn't that right? And that is so limiting. So limiting. There is a limitless flow if you and I can get over into it. All right. I'm out of time already. Our generosity comes from God's generosity. In other words, it's a reciprocation of what he's done for us and our revelation of it. A person who's thankful, they realize what God's done for them, they become generous back to God. A person that is all selfish and stingy, they're proud. They are selfish, and they're very ungrateful. Graciousness is a expression of gratefulness. When we give, we're saying thank you, whether it's to God. You realize whenever we just find somebody that needs groceries or something, and we bless them, we're really saying to God, thank you for what you've done to me.
Absolutely. Amen. Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen. To be stingy with it, according to the Bible, and I'm going to say something. I'm out of time, all right? But I got to just say it. To be stingy is very wicked. And here's the reason why. I know you might think, whoa, that's a hard statement. But here's the reason why. How many of you remember the man? The Bible said, we have freely received. We have freely received. Then he said to freely give. Because we've freely received, we're to freely give. How many of you remember the man Jesus gave the parable, or actually told the story about a man who... King forgave him a great debt, remember? And then he went out and found a man that had owed him a little bit and got him by the neck and said, pay me. He said, oh, well, just give me some time, I'll pay. And he said, no, and he put him into the, we call it slave labor camp, busting rocks, you know, trying to pay it off. And so somebody heard about it and told the king, and the king pulled him back in and said, you wicked servant. He said, I forgave you that debt. He said, ought not you, he's mad. Have done for them what I did for you. He should have. He said he ought to. That's what he's saying. Now, that's in the area of forgiveness, isn't it? That's in the area of forgiveness. If it's true about forgiveness, it's true about money. It's true about everything. Encouragement, forgiving, you know, canceling debts, whatever.
Come on. Yes, sir.
If he puts it on your heart, ought not you. He said, you wicked servant. That's what he called him. Why was he wicked? Did he murder somebody? What great sin had he committed? He was stingy toward others with something that he had been freely given himself. Amen. Isn't that right? Praise the Lord. Of all that God has given us, all his goodness, all his blessings, we should be gracious towards God with it. You know, be obedient towards God with it, gracious towards God with it, and towards other people because, listen, this is what God's done for me. I'm going to do this for you. Do this for me, a blessing, so give.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
But Pastor, what about me? Oh, you don't understand. The pipe that's got water flowing to your house is always wet. Always wet. That water pipe never gets thirsty. It never does. It never gets dry. It's always wet. Why? Because it decided, I'm going to be a channel to take water to their house. And anything it needs, it's right there. It's right there. It's right there. It's in that flow. It's in that flow. You and my needs are in this flow.
Yes, that's right.
I'm talking about what we need for our life. The supply of that is in this flow. Praise the Lord. And that's page 3. So come back again. We'll get some more. I don't know when it's coming out. I really, 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 really wish I could get it on Sunday, but we'll just have to see what God has through the Ramoses. It'll be a great blessing. Amen. But this is growing in me. I believe it's growing in you. And this is going to take us to the top. Take us to the top. Stand with me to your feet and tell your neighbor, this is some answers that's going to take us to the top this evening. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir. Yes, ma'am. Hallelujah. Get up in the morning with a thought and a motive maybe you haven't had before. In fact, you might want to put it on your bathroom mirror. If you stumble in there, if that's one of the first things you do, you look in the mirror, put it right where you're going to see it. Look for ways to be generous today.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Look for ways. And make that a part of your thinking rather than just going through the day not even thinking about that. You know what I'm talking about? Make it a part. Make yourself think about it. Say it out loud. I'm a generous person. I'm talking about in the morning. I'm a generous person. I'm in the flow of generosity and graciousness. God's been gracious to me. I thank you, Father, today for making me a blessing. Show me who I can be a blessing to. It's sometimes money. Sometimes it's just encouragement. Sometimes it's telling somebody they did a good job. I've said it before. I'll say it again. Because this wasn't something the way I was raised, I wasn't encouraged to do better by encouragement. I was told to do better by showing me where I missed it all the time. So I didn't know how to do that. You know, that'll affect your marriage.
Yes, sir. Come on.
And it did ours. But anyway, I started realizing some of the issues that I was having. I started making that decision. I'm going to look for ways to be an encouragement to people and to tell people they did a good job. You know, the first couple of times I did that, I had to do it pretty quick because I had to get away because I had to go in the back room and cry. Because I was just like, this is better. I like this. You know, and it just really got to me. It started changing me. I said it started changing me. Hallelujah. And I'm not done being changed yet. How about you? Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for being so generous, so gracious towards us through your Son, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you for a revelation of it, a further progressive understanding of this nature, this characteristic of your nature. And Father, of those of us that have struggled financially, are struggling financially, show us how gracious you are in the financial realm. Teach us to receive. Teach us this flow. Teach us what is damming it up. Show us, Lord. We'll not turn away. When we see it, we'll not turn away from our answer. We will not turn away from our answer. Lord, help every one of us that has continually been brought up to these things and turned away from it, but I can't, I just have such struggles, Father, I can't. Help us to not turn away from this, that we might face it head on and step into it with a faith that you will honor from heaven and start turning our situation around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. We'll give you all the praise for the changes in our lives and for the flow of amazing grace that shows up as a result of us receiving this flow. Hallelujah. so that we'll be a glorious praise and an honor to you in the earth. And people see what you've done and say, how did you get that? How did this happen? We'll say, my God, my Father. My God, my Father's good to me. He's gracious. Hallelujah. And others will say, amazing grace, amazing grace. Even in the area of our finances, they'll see amazing graciousness and generosity. So others, Father, will come to you because you said it's the goodness of the Lord that leads men to repentance. Praise your name. Praise your name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're getting a taste of it tonight, Father. Just a taste. You said, taste and see that I'm good. We're not satisfied with just a taste. We want the whole meal, Father. We want everything on that table. You prepared this table. It's sitting right before us. Show us, Father. Show us how to tap into it. We'll give you all the praise, the glory, and the honor. Hallelujah. 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 Father, we know this is the abundance flow. And so we decide we're getting in on it. We're getting in on it. We reject persecution. We reject the accusations of others. We refuse to back out because of what others think. Whether they're religious or just jealous or whatever, Father, we're going on with you. We're going on with you. This world must see it. This world must know you in this way. Hallelujah. And they will. And they will. They're going to see it through us. Hallelujah. Come on, give God some praise tonight. Give God some praise tonight. Give God some praise tonight. Hallelujah. 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 God, in His wisdom, set it up in the kingdom of God that the way into increase is through generosity. That way it keeps us free from covetousness, the spirit of mammon, loving money, putting it first. There's an inbuilt safeguard against getting money-minded. And putting our faith in money. It's built right in there. Can you see that? It's built right in there. If you want to be free from mammon and loving money and all that, just keep giving things away. It'll keep you free from it. Oh, the riches of His wisdom and His grace. That's the wisdom of God. That's the wisdom of God. Hallelujah. 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 I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. God's good. Tell your neighbor, I'll see you on Sunday morning.
If you would like more information about Pastor Jay Eberle's ministry, please visit us on the web at soffc.org or call us at 319-366-2147. Or you can write to us at Spirit of Faith Family Church, Post Office Box 8355, Cedar Rapids, Iowa, 52408. And remember, God loves you, and you're equipped to live victoriously in every area of life.